Judges chapter number 16, and it says in verse number 26, "Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, 'Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them.'" Our Father, we thank you, Abba. Holy, reverent is your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for the manifestation of your kingdom in our hearts, lives, and way of life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm glad to be here. So I'm glad to be here. Anybody else happy to be here? Hey, tell your neighbor it's good that we're here tonight. Do you sense a little push in the atmosphere? I do. Because when people begin to pray and fast, you can feel the power and the presence of the Lord start pushing the enemy out of the atmosphere. Amen? I sense a push, and it's getting greater, and it's getting better every day. And then in verse number 27 in the same book of Judges, "Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed." They were making a mockery of this man. "Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life." That's a powerful insight into many, many facets of how God blesses us and treats us and takes care of us. Amen? And you think about this. The power of God, his anointing, not only was on Samson, but is present in the church of today. And he gives us clarity of mind and the ability to understand what he's trying to teach us from his word. Lesson after lesson. And not just less of me and more of you, Lord, but none of me and all of you, Lord. Amen? All of you. Jesus' kingdom is advancing in our world. In spite of all the craziness going on, his kingdom is expanding and growing, and it is doing phenomenal things all over the planet. I spoke about grace a few weeks ago for one more push. And what an amazing story this is in the life and ministry of Samson. I thank God for the grace he provides us. How about you? And in the middle of Samson's personal failures, if you weren't here, you want to get that message. In the midst of his personal shortcomings, he had lost his sight. He's reduced to a slave. He is mocked every single day. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Samson never regained his sight. He never physically was able to see again, but the symbol of his covenant, his uncut hair, began to grow, and Samson's insight into the way God does life and business with us, that did not get diminished. Samson was paying a price for his failures. And just remember, it's true that while God forgives us, there is also a consequence for the things that we do that we may bear for the rest of our days, as Samson did. Samson was paying a price for his failures. He's restricted. He's been enslaved, but his hair began to regrow. It's a sign of grace being applied back into the life of this man. And whenever you get a second chance, it's a sign that grace is being applied. God is the God of second chances. And for some of our folk, third and fourth, and some even more than that chances. Amen? God has given us grace, and we've all been given second chances. As I look back on our history, God's been faithful to us. Many have remained steadfast in spite of a fluid culture that we're living in. Thank you to all who have remained faithful in serving the Lord and digging in and not walking out and not quitting and not stopping in your passion. Thanks to all who've remained faithful here at Calvary Christian Center. I want to applaud you. Thank God for you. Amen. God's calling us on for a second push. One more push. And it won't take much, just faith. Because you're going to be surprised at what one push can do. I want to speak about the concept and give you three principles tonight as I expand on this truth that I began a couple of Sunday nights back, well, several Sunday nights ago. But by the time you reach 50 years of age, you've had many ups and downs and tough moments and great successes, some discouraging times. And at that stage, you need people who have advanced ahead of you to still speak into your life. Why? Because you will need to be motivated to push again, even though you've hit all kinds of barriers in life, because there's still something inside of you that God wants to release from you and through you. And it's my job, my gifting, to get the next push out of you. No, you're not going to die. Amen? No. In fact, this next push will accelerate you to a new dimension, a burst of Holy Spirit energy that will be released, that will cause you to celebrate for the rest of your days. Does anybody receive that tonight? We want the next generation to celebrate us as well. Such a blast of success, they will accelerate in their own lives because of what you've allowed the Lord to do through your life. There is one more great push in our generation, and I feel that to the bone. All the way to the marrow. This is no time to roll over. What will happen through us will affect every season that comes after us. Check out Samson. Samson pushed on these two pillars, and they began to break. The load-bearing pillars of this temple. Everything else then began to crumble in that heathen temple. It was a ripple effect. Samson started something, and it gained momentum all over that edifice. And we will affect a push that will ripple through the generations that come after us. So I want to speak prophetically about that. I said we're going to affect a push that will ripple through generations that come after us. Calvary, God indicates we need to push one more time. People think this push will affect just us today. No. This one more push will affect generations that come after us. If we can grow excited one more time about the presence and the power of God, faith expressed one more time, faith delivered to the Lord that says, we still believe you in spite of all the things we've traveled through. All God is asking is one more time. The latter day push will affect everything as it did in that temple on that day when Samson stood between those two load-bearing pillars. Dagon's temple began to crumble, and it killed everybody in it, and all it took was one more push. One push made everything collapse. Tell your neighbor, every stronghold is coming down. Now say it like you mean it. Every stronghold is coming down. Amen? Everything in opposition to you, one more push. Everything tormenting you, all it will take, one more push. It will not stop falling. It will not stop falling until everything falls down flat. Sang about that tonight. No matter how thick the walls, they will fall flat. And you're about to open something for another generation that they will walk right in on it. They'll just be able to walk right in over it. The walls of Jericho were flattened, so nobody had to climb over those walls. Listen, we just walk right in, and God will help us to expedite some things because my God can compress time. He's the author of time. He completely controls it, and my God can compress it. And God will bring his abundance to his people. So let this rise up in you one more time, that we need to push one more time. Some will celebrate you after you're gone because of this push. And I'm sensing something that's been very deeply stirring in my spirit as we began this new year in fasting. When you push one more time, you're going to be celebrated for years to come. It will be celebrated. It will be historical. It will bless you and the generations following you. Samson pushed one more time, and the two load-bearing pillars crumbled, but they were the main supports for the entire temple. God will position you just right this next time. He will position you exactly where you need to be in this next stop. Amen. This positioning is not like any other previous positioning that you've been involved in. This positioning places us where we have the most impact, the greatest impact, and it's in you to be used of God like he used this man on that day. And when you lie down at night, a part of you wants to remain awake. That's a push that drives you. You go to rest, and something inside of you keeps stirring and says, there's still more to do. There's still some things that need to get finished. That's the push that's calling you. And what you thought you could not do, in the eyes of God, it's already done. And when he appointed you, he knew exactly how to set things in place to awaken his desires in your heart. Some of you have a natural set time of praying where you do your daily prayer time. You know, it's kind of like your routine. But something in this new year is just a little bit different. It's happening in your heart that will shift every prayer warrior once again. Something that's turning on the inside, a wheel within a wheel that's spinning on the inside, generating a desire for communication with God that's not just routine. That's not just on your calendar. That's not just there at a specific time in the morning. Get ready. God will awaken you earlier than you normally get up. By the time others are getting up at 6 or 7, we will have already obtained the victory because we've already spent time early with the Lord before anything else has distracted us. God wants to ignite his intercessors one more time. Not just scheduled prayer. We need that. But Holy Spirit ignited prayer. Because we're going to push in and drive out the spirit of darkness from husbands and wives and children. And we're going to see a great release from bondage for members of our families. We're going to see things happen that would have never happened without prayer. And there's a fresh anointing on the church. Listen, for intercession, for coming before God and waiting in a desire to communicate with him. And when we start praying in the Spirit, we shake heaven. And when we start shaking heaven, God gets up from the throne. Amen? It's a desire that's unexplainable. It's Holy Spirit planted, Holy Spirit generated. It's grace for one more push. And some are seeing exactly what I'm saying to you tonight. Spiritually, you're grasping it with your spiritual eyes. Some here are getting an image of what God's going to do. Even while I'm speaking to you, that means when you're really hearing the revealed word, then you can see it. You can see it. And when you're hearing truth, you're going to see mighty walls crumble. Amen? You'll see a mighty people rise up with grace and hope and power generated in the life. And when we embrace grace, we manifest hope. As in Ezekiel, those dead bones didn't know They were a mighty army until hope was spoken into them. You're coming back to life. And no matter how dry those bones are, when I begin speaking of hope, someone will rise up. And instead of a few more years of productivity, no, the spirit of Caleb, give me this mountain, giants and all. I'll take everything God promised me. Push, which means to press upon or against with force in order to move it away. I love it. Push, to press upon or against with force in order to move it away. There are three principles that grace represents in this passage. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Yes. First of all, grace represents an opportunity to finish what you started. Are you listening? What did you start that's incomplete? Think about it. God always finishes what he begins. He has wired his people to do the same thing. He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't care how many interruptions, setbacks, the enemy cannot stop destiny. We will finish what we started. And sometimes we have to revisit our beginnings. We have to come back for one last push. We come back to the place to finish. And we can't finish unless we get back on the assigned track, because sometimes we've been distracted. We got off on sidebars and we've been chasing bunny trails and all kinds of other things that we've been in pursuit of. And sometimes we have to get back on the assigned track. And there's something on the inside that's calling. And it's not my voice, it's not your voice. It's the voice of the Lord calling us back to a specific place with him. And you can't finish if you're out of place. And the further you get out of place, the further off target you get. So by the grace of God, you realize you're out of place and you get back in place, because this is our final push in order to see destiny fulfilled. Tell your neighbor, I am going to finish. Amen. Amen. What good is it if the vision God gave you and the dream God gave you is still stuck in your head, right? If it languages only in the talking stage and never launches onto the sea of decision where God's trying to take us in action. But you've got to take the first step. Amen? You've got to take steps once again to get to other steps. When Joshua has to take this leap of faith, he's going into a land he's never been in before, and they stand across from the Jordan River, peering over at the promised land. They're standing there, and the Jordan River, for the most part, is not very wide, and it's not very deep. In just a few places, it may be maybe 100 feet wide. A few places, it might reach up to 18 or 20 feet deep, but for the most part, it's pretty shallow, maybe 8 or 10 feet deep generally. And can you guess when God wanted the Israelites to cross the Jordan River? Do you remember? Do you remember the season of the year when God brings them to the Jordan and says, now I want you to go over? It was in the spring when all the snow was melting on the mountains and turning the Jordan into a giant, rushing, torrential, dangerous river, overflowing its riverbanks. And this thing now was raging and it was deep. And God brings them there then and says, now you're going to cross. Now you're going to go in, okay? It seems impossible. Under normal circumstances, they could have waited across the Jordan River. But once God's given you vision and there's a Jordan River that's lying before you, what stands in your way? It's the first step. The priest had to put their feet in the water before anything that God was about to do would begin to happen. And that's always the hardest step. When you know you've got to do something, and God's asked you to do it, and God's put it in your spirit to do it, what barrier stands in your way? See, it's the first step. When you're scared to do it, what do? You do it anyways. Amen? You do it anyways. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's just moving ahead in spite of the fact that you're afraid. And once you make the first step, more faith begins to develop and grow. And you realize God's with me. You have to start the first step. And if we had enough faith to start, I've got enough faith to finish. Amen? He will complete in me what he began. And God will not stop too early. It will come to pass. And no matter the diagnosis, whatever's happening in your mind or your body or your spirit, you shall finish. Let me prophesy over you tonight. No dilemma, no situation that you face. Listen, nothing will prevent you from finishing what God began in your life. Nothing will prevent that. I want to stir up the power of the Holy Spirit to activate the core of your purpose, the dream that God's given you. You shall finish what God began in your life. Secondly, number two, grace represents that God's ability is greater than what you've lost. I said grace represents God's ability is greater than what you've lost. And too many times we miss grace because we're too focused on what we've lost. Grace is greater than what we have lost. Grace has the ability to bring back more than we have lost in our lives. I remember when my mother passed and went on to be with the Lord, she had prayed for me every single day without fail. You talk about somebody to have on your team. Every day without fail, she prayed for our family. She prayed for my spouse, my children, every single day. Mama's with Jesus. I haven't lost her. I know exactly where she is. Now I have a spouse who prays for me every single day. A spouse who prays for our family. A spouse every single day who talks to the Lord about it. There are spiritual mothers in the body of Christ at Calvary who should be praying for me every single day. I'd love to have a whole row of spiritual mothers in our church who will pray for me every single day. Yeah, I should have that. I know pastors who have that. I want that. God's grace is greater than anything the devil ever stole from you. And you're thinking of stolen finances and stolen health and stolen family members. Grace has the ability to bring back more than what was stolen. More finances, more opportunities. You have to believe our God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. That power that works in you is his grace. And there's a greater day than the days that you've had. There's something better than where you've been. Start believing that God by grace will demonstrate that day in your life, that you watch it manifest. I believe there is a better day than the days I have suffered through. The suffering is coming to a close. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. My darkest hour is just before the break of day. If my circumstances have been dark, I might as well get ready for the sun to come up because it's about to break. Calvary, your night season has come to a close. Your day season is about to dawn. And you say, well, I can still see darkness. You might see it, but it does not have dominion over you. It has no power over you, nor can it stop you. You are now moving in a new direction away from darkness. You see, we can't rehearse pain and have joy. Have the joy of the Lord. Leave it and embrace the joy God's giving you. And embrace the liberty and the freedom with thanksgiving for all he's done for you. If we rehearse pain, we won't be excited about what God has for us in our future, in our tomorrows, when we just all we do is sit around and rehearse the pain and the trouble and the traumas that we've been through. And so believe that right now. Be excited about what God has for you tonight. You'll spoil a good day rehearsing pain and miss the gift God has for you today. If all you want to do is sit and rehearse it and complain about it, you miss another opportunity. Change your rehearsal time. Our worship team comes here and they spend hours and they rehearse. And they do well because they rehearse and because they wait upon the Lord for anointing. But I do not want to learn to perfect pain. I'm coming out because I refuse to rehearse it. I will not become a professional sufferer. I will be a professional praiser. I will be a professional at giving God thanks, not a professional at being a complaining, dark, looming cloud of doom everywhere I go. I've made up my mind. I will praise the Lord in spite of pain. Amen. I will praise the Lord until everything around me agrees with my praise and is agreeing with my worship and giving thanks to God. So do not allow what we're going through to dictate who we are. What we are kingdom believers. We have authority. We can change the atmosphere. We can shift the climate. We have that ability. We have His power. We will not allow what the enemy has begun to prevent us from becoming what God told us we are and what we're to do. If darkness is there, we lift up the name of Jesus and the light of His glory shines in and His grace is upon you. Now here's the key. And you may want to text this to a few of your friends. You may want to tweet this to somebody. You may want to compete with the president tonight and tweet something important. The enemy is afraid the church will grow beyond saving grace. Yeah. I said the enemy is afraid that the church will grow beyond saving grace. This is what he fears the most. He's fearful you will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is scared of that more than any other aspect of your living. He does not want you to step beyond salvation. He wants you to remain there at that basic level and never grow very far beyond that. He doesn't want you empowered by grace. He only wants you saved by grace. And God's will for the church is that we be empowered by grace. Third, because God's grace is working on your behalf, you won't have to wait a long time for victory. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going to have to waste hours. You're going to get more done in minutes than you did with hours because of God's grace. It will no longer take all your energy and leave you exhausted because the revelation of grace will have manifested in your heart and will be the engine that drives you. This is powerful. Grace represents God's unfailing love for us. Grace represents God's unfailing love for us. Are you thankful for that? Check it out. We didn't do it all right, but God never stopped loving us. Grace goes beyond our mistakes. Grace goes beyond our failures. Grace qualifies us when we feel like we've been disqualified. God's unfailing love. God didn't, listen, He didn't select us because we were the best. He selected us because He loves us. Yet we still struggle sometimes to see if we can qualify. Clue, that day is gone. We are too far gone to qualify. Understand that the Father loves you unfailingly. We may fail, but His love for us never fails. God's love always remains the same. And when I'm trying to wrap my brain around this idea, and this theological principle, and this doctrine of the Scripture, and this knowledge of who my God is, His character, I could not wrap my brain around that until I went to the prophet Hosea. And God told him to marry an unfaithful woman. a man of God is to marry an adulteress, and she keeps being unfaithful. She will not be faithful to you, God said. She will not be committed to you, and she's got some miles on her. But I want you to understand how I feel about my people. Hosea, you won't be able to articulate this to my people unless you are where I am. I want you to marry one who's not going to be faithful to you. And I want you to create a secure environment, but she will still not be faithful to you. And when you come home, she won't be there. She'll be out trying to get attention. I want you to go get her and bring her back. Make the home secure. And when you go out again and you return, she'll be out looking for getting more attention. But love her and bring her back and provide for her. And keep loving her, because I want to demonstrate to my people my love and my grace, to show my people who I am. And God says, there's coming a day in 2018, I'm going to use a group of people. I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've walked away to, how depressed they've been, how they have felt left out and rejected, how deeply hurt and experiences they've had. No matter what they feel, I still want my church. I still want Calvary Christian Center. No matter what anybody else says, I love Calvary Christian Center. I love the leadership of Calvary Christian Center. I want Calvary Christian Center. Calvary Christian Center belongs to me. I am married to Calvary Christian Center. Calvary Christian Center, get this, God is married to you. And when God, listen, when God is in a covenant, he never breaks covenant, even when he's unhappy with our behavior. God will hang in there with us because God is faithful even when we've been unfaithful. Somebody ought to be dancing down the aisle right about now. Amen. Even with the Holy One who is faithful. And I'm here to tell you how much God loves you. I know you. Some of you may not feel like getting up and coming to the next church service and, you know, give it one more push. Some don't want to go again. No, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I don't need to be doing that. Too many people want to just come, sit down, and cruise until Jesus comes back. And my God is saying to his church, absolutely not. I have one more push in you. I have another assignment for you. Pastor, I'm tired. God says, I will give you a fresh burst of energy to finish what I started in you. And somebody better get ready. You're about to have more energy in you than you've had in your entire life. I'm amazed at my energy level. Not because of me, but because of him. And I have to step up in here every service. And I have to be up every single time, because God is saying, I'm going to finish my work through my church. So I'm not going to hold back. I said, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to keep your responsibility before you every time God graces me with the ability to sow the word of the Lord. Amen. God says, if you will just trust me, I will give you what you need to accomplish my purposes. If you will rely on me, I will not fail. If you'll give me one more push, if you'll give me the best that you have, God just needs you to be focused, to collect yourselves, to be on the same page, to be in unity, to show up for the same reasons and purpose, to come under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, pushing with all your might one more time, believing one more time, trusting one more time. And God promises, I will show myself mighty and strong for you for the rest of your days. So what's Pastor trying to get us to do? The Holy Spirit and the atmosphere of his presence keep speaking. One more push. One more push. Can't you feel this? One more push. anguish. Because God has an unfinished assignment for us. And so he prays, strengthen me, I pray. Just this once. That I will do more in this last push than I did in my previous years. Calvary, you can do more in this last push than you've done in the history of our church. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to the bride tonight. And this is an unusual truth. And you've heard a little bit of it in the previous weeks. I want you to take a good hard look at that. Holy Spirit, burn that into the memory bank of every person in this room. And as we look at this, you will see this in your mind when you get up in the morning. And when you're coursing through the structure of your day, you will have to look at that in your mind's eye to get one more push. I want to leave a mark that the enemy will never forget. And it says, even when you think it's over and done, grace will show up and require one more push. Strengthen me, O God. This one more time. Amen? Can you feel that? To do more with this last day outpouring than we've ever done in our history. That's what God desires from us. What's that mean, Pastor? We're supposed to finish strong. We're supposed to finish this way. Not this way. We're supposed to finish like Caleb and Joshua. Not just kind of flickering out, but rising to the moment and saying, whatever you want out of my life, Lord, you can squeeze the very last drop of it out of me. I want to leave this world one day, leaving a mark the enemy will never forget. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I intended to speak a little more quietly tonight. But grace interrupted my plans. Because we need the Holy Spirit to show up. Amen? And my plans went out the window, and we might as well get to the altar tonight and give this thing one more push. And some people, you know, you're afraid of commitment, and some have been hurt in a place where you were supposed to push, and you felt like things didn't work out the way you wanted them to. So what I want you to do, everybody, I want the church, this will be the first time in 2018 that all of us can gather together at the altar. At the altar. And we can seek the face of God. And we can believe Him and trust Him at an old-fashioned place where God and I have conversation about where we are and where I need to go from here. So everybody standing to your feet, please, if you would. Amen. Everybody standing with praise and thanksgiving on your lips and in your hearts. Again, some are afraid of commitment. Some of you have been hurt in the past where you were supposed to be pushing. But listen to me. In spite of your hurts, understand what Pastor's saying to you. There's nobody who has entered into the kingdom of God who has not experienced hurt, okay? You've been hurt in the place where you were supposed to push. Okay, now take a deep breath. Come on, everybody, take a deep breath. And here's why I want you to take a deep breath. Because that was just boot camp. That was just boot camp. Those training you are not your enemy. They're preparing you for what you need to do so that you can do it with impact and effectiveness. If I hadn't learned to deal with hurt in the low place, I would never be where I am. I would be in big trouble today. I had to learn to deal with rejection in the low place. I had to learn in my low place that I know God loves me and He loves His people and He will never give up on us. Amen.